Good morning.
Turning if you will to Luke chapter 15. Again, that is going to be Luke chapter 15. Of course, when we are studying the Bible and we are following the life of Jesus, we are blessed to find ourselves in so many great and wonderful scenes. It will be Jesus on one occasion in Luke chapter 8 talking to farmers, and there in that particular account, Jesus is going to tell one of the greatest stories that has ever been told. The sower went forth to sow. But of course, in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11, now the parable is this. The seed, it is the word of God. It will be Jesus talking to a Pharisee in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 and following there. And there he's going to encounter with a woman of the city. And the Bible identifies her as a woman of the city, which was a sinner. It will be Jesus telling the story of the Good Samaritan and how here you have this man that comes down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he needs help. And the Bible there says how the Samaritan saw him and how he had compassion on him. And as you continue to study throughout the book of Luke, you're just going to run into so many great accounts and so many great stories from our Lord's life. Here he is conveying a message to people, not just for that day, but even for all of us this morning. The message is rather simple. Jesus values everyone. It will be the setting in Luke chapter 15 in verse 1 to verse number 3 there that Jesus is going to find himself with these Pharisees. And they're ultimately are going to question his ways. Why is Jesus, the Son of God, subjecting himself to eat with tax collectors and with sinners? If Jesus truly is the Son of God, and we know he is, but on that occasion, if Jesus truly is the Son of God, why is he associating himself with people that no one would dare sit down and talk with? One of the great things about the Word of God, and one of the great things about Jesus is, he always did things that seemed strange to other people, but of course we know it was ultimately to convey a message that will certainly be beneficial for all of us this morning. I love the book of Luke for so many great reasons. The book of Luke, as you begin studying this book, it has so many great themes. Again, theme number one, Jesus is going to value people. You also see throughout the book of Luke here that Jesus is going to elevate women as well. But in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 24 and following there, the text says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." And the Bible says he was lost and now he is found. I'm thankful this morning that God has a lost and found section. And as you study your Bible, specifically this morning in Luke chapter 15, my assignment is to go through these 32 verses with you this morning. A lot of information to cover, but hopefully this morning we can go through these 32 verses, make some application, and certainly leave this morning being better for having studied the Word of God. In Luke chapter 15, let's notice the first couple of verses here this morning, and then we'll get into the meat of what it is we're going to talk about more specifically. Notice, if you will, Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to verse number 3. The Bible there says, Then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he spake this parable unto them a saying. So immediately within these first three verses, one of the things we can appreciate this morning, point number one is Jesus receives sinners. Again, Jesus receives sinners. As you make your way, not just throughout the book of Luke, but even throughout all the other gospel accounts as well, one of the things, again, you're constantly going to see is Jesus interacting with people that the known world at that time just simply would not interact with. Again, here is Jesus, and again in verse number 1 and verse number 2, they are questioning the entire context from verse number 4, really to verse number 32, stems from these first three verses. Why is Jesus the Son of God, God in the flesh? If he's truly the Son of God, why is he subjecting himself and eating with tax collectors and with sinners? And so what Jesus does from verse number 4 to verse number 32, Jesus is going to give us three illustrations to make this point known. It will be the illustration of a shepherd from verse number 4 to verse number 8. It will be the illustration of a shepherd leaving the 99 that he has to to go find the one. It's the illustration of a woman lighting her candle, verse 8 to verse number 10, sweeping her house diligently to find this one coin. And then in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to verse number 32, it will be the illustration of a father waiting for his son to come back home. Now, the theme or the thing that's common with all these three different illustrations is this. Something is lost and something is found. After the thing that was lost has been found, the text reveals for us that the rejoicing takes place. And so again, the shepherd goes out to find the one. The woman sweeps and gets down on her hands and knees, and she's looking for the one. But the last account, the father said, I'm waiting for him to come back home, and we're certainly going to note why this morning. So in Luke 15, verse 1 to verse number 3, again, the text reveals for us here that Jesus receives sinners. Notice again what the text says. The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the, watch this, tax collectors and sinners for to hear him. Now, of all the people in the world at that time, of all the doctors, the lawyers, of all the great men and women of that day, why is Jesus not hanging out with them, as some people sometimes speculate? I mean, here you have Jesus having all this knowledge, all this insight. Why is he not hanging out with those of a higher class, as we sometimes suggest? But one of the amazing things about Jesus is this. Jesus always was going to go where people were. Whether they are doctors and lawyers in Mark chapter 4, as the illustration of these four friends tearing a hole in somebody's house to get their friend to Jesus. Or it would be Jesus in Luke 15, 1 and 2, sitting down with tax collectors and with sinners. Now, very often people like to ask the question, if we are in the world but not of the world, how are we supposedly going to help those who have yet to come to know Jesus? And it's really interesting and really simple when you think about it from this perspective. When Jesus sat down with tax collectors and with sinners, Jesus never allowed them to change him, but it was for the sole purpose of Jesus trying to show them that there is simply a much better way than the life you're living at this particular time. Amen. If you go back a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 7, verse number 36 and following there, Jesus is going to encounter another Pharisee in that particular text there. And in Luke chapter 7, verse number 36 and following here, you have a couple of different people in the text. You have Jesus in the text. You have this Pharisee. The Bible identifies him as Simon the Pharisee. And then you also have this woman as well. And what Jesus is going to do in this particular account, Jesus is going to show them on that day, I value everyone. The Bible says, and when one of the Pharisees desired him that he should eat with him, he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And the Bible says, and behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, the Bible says she brought an alabaster box of ointment. The Bible says she goes into the house. She stands at the feet of our Lord, and there she is washing and weeping. And the Bible says she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. She kissed them and anointed them with ointment. Now the Bible says when the Pharisee which had bidden him invited him, he saw it. And he spake within himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, implication being clear, he's not a prophet. Because if he were a prophet, he would have known, watch this, who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. I'm thankful that our Lord allows those who have yet to obey the gospel to come down to sit at his feet and have a conversation with him. Amen. And it's rather amazing because when you read Luke chapter 15, the Bible says here that this Pharisee is speaking to himself. And of course, Jesus being God in the flesh, able to read the thoughts of men, he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answering and said, I suppose he who he forgave most. And Jesus says, thou hast rightly judged. And Jesus says, seest thou this woman? Put the imagery in your mind. It's as if you have all these things going on. And Jesus points to this woman and says, don't you see this woman? I came into your house. You offer me no water for my feet. But this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, you didn't anoint. And the text ultimately goes on to say, Jesus says, though her sins are many, they are forgiven. This woman needed the very same thing all of us stand in need of, and that's the grace and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But back to Luke 15, verse 1 to verse number 3, you have the tax collectors or publicans, and you have the sinners. Now, of course, history helps us appreciate these tax collectors, these publicans, Jews, hired by the Romans to tax their own people. And when you read the Bible, Luke 19, 1 to verse number 10, you also read about another tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. And the Bible helps us appreciate how the Jews really felt about tax collectors, even the Pharisees in this text here. And so the Pharisees, they see Jesus in Luke 15, verse 1, as recorded. And they see him associating himself with tax collectors and with sinners. And they're asking themselves, something about this scene just simply does not make sense. Something on this particular occasion, it's just not clicking for us. The text again says, then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners for to hear him. Notice verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes, they murmur, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he also eats with them. And then in verse number 3, on the heels of verse number 1 and verse number 2, Jesus now shows them ultimately why he's doing this. One of the beauties about the gospel, one of the great things about Jesus, Jesus did have to explain himself in the context of us trying to explain ourselves to people sometimes who are asking us questions. But Jesus always was going to convey a message that even the richest of rich and the poorest of poor, everyone from all walks of life can understand this one message. I value everyone. There are those in the world today who simply don't believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save. They simply do not believe that if they come to know Jesus, if they obey the gospel, if they begin living their lives according to the doctrine of the gospel, they just simply don't believe that the gospel has the power to save. But Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17 says the opposite. It does have the power to save. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse number 5, and you had a quick and made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And so what we want to do with the remaining of our time this morning is look at these three different accounts, these three different illustrations in the text here. And then, of course, we'll make some application. Notice verse number 4, the first illustration that our Lord is going to use. Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose not one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he findeth, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now, immediately, sometimes reading Luke 15, verse 4 to verse number 8, I was reading an article not long ago, and the person was making the case. Why is the shepherd leaving 99 sheep just to go find one? I mean, he still has 99 sheep. He knows exactly where they are. He can look out and he can see those sheep that are in his care. But he's willing to leave the 99 to go find one. It's been stated this way. Jesus leaving 99 to go find one seems illogical until you're that one. Amen. Sometimes we fail to appreciate, man, I'll never fall away. I'll never distance myself from Christ or his church. Failing to appreciate sometimes Satan has a stronger hold on us than we want to admit sometimes. The shepherd, watch this again. You have a shepherd, typically having other men probably help him shepherd the flock. Now, in Luke 15, people like to do a lot of different things. Sheep, they do wonder. Money certainly can become misplaced. The son that left, people certainly have the ability to leave and get up and go and do whatever it is they want to do. But in Luke 15, while that does carry some weight, I believe the text is really showing us not so much how they got lost, but because they are lost, what are we going to go do to find the one? Do you value the one so much that you're willing to leave 99? You know they're good. You know exactly where they are. But yet you're willing to leave 99 sheep to go find one. The Lord's lost and found section here in Luke chapter 15, verse 4 to verse number 32. It's helping all of us appreciate that Jesus values the one. How much does one soul matter to the God of heaven? Sometimes when we talk about evangelism, we talk about, you know, each one teach one. You go out, you teach someone else, and that's great. You know, if we can get 2 converts this year or 3 or 4, that's great. But what about one? How much do you value the one? If your value of one is not the same as our Lord's value of one, then you need to reconsider how you value the one. Because if Jesus values just one soul, just one sheep, then that helps all of us appreciate today how we need to value the one as well. But notice else, what else what takes place in the text. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose not one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? And the Bible says, and when he find it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know what you don't find in the text there? You don't find the shepherd beating up the sheep for being lost. You don't read about the shepherd yelling at the sheep all the way back home. The Bible says the shepherd, when he finds his sheep, he layeth the sheep on his shoulders. And what is he doing? He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing because the thing that was lost has now been found. And the Bible says, when he cometh home, watch the text, verse 6. He calleth together all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Typically, when we have good news, what's the first response? We want to share it. If you have good news and you share it with someone, they want to be excited for you because the Lord has blessed you. Whatever it is, you've gotten a new job, you've gotten a new home, you've gotten a new car, whatever it is, the Lord has blessed you with something. And the first thing we want to do, we want to share that with other people. But when that sheep comes back home, when the shepherd leaves and go finds that one and he brings that one back home, that should be a reason for all of us to rejoice. When you study the Bible, of course, in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Bible helps us appreciate the importance of rejoicing, not just for ourselves, but for the one who decides to come back home. Number one this morning, Jesus receives sinners. So again, the question is, why is Jesus, Luke 15, verse 1 and 2, why is Jesus sitting down with tax collectors and with sinners? And then in verse number 2 again, the Bible says, and the Pharisees and scribes, they murmur, they are talking amongst themselves saying, why is Jesus over there with people we don't like? Why is Jesus over there with people we would never talk to? And that's one of the beauties about Jesus, where we sometimes see a person we don't like. Jesus sees a soul. And Jesus says, this person, they need to be saved from their sin. When you consider the Pharisees, I've been studying the Pharisees a lot lately, and when you consider the Pharisees and them always trying to entrap Jesus, them always trying to trip Jesus up. Jesus also wanted them to be saved as well. Notice Luke chapter 15. Notice the second illustration our Lord gives here in Luke 15, verse 8 to verse number 9. Jesus says, the text reveals for us, "For what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose not one of them," watch this, "does not light a candle, sweep her house diligently until she finds that one." Now, all of us this morning can appreciate that. We sometimes lose money. When we find money in our homes or in our cars, do we throw the money away? Absolutely not. That's foolish. Do you know how excited you will become if you find $100 you misplaced? You're just not going to throw it away. The Bible says, notice this again in verse number 8 to verse number 10. "What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, does not light a candle, sweep her house diligently until she finds the one?" Now, how significant, how important is the one? She still has 9 pieces of silver. She knows exactly where they are. And the text says, how do you expect her to go out and do all this? The Bible says she lights this candle. She began sweeping her house diligently just so she can find the one. And Jesus says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented than over 99 good persons which need no repentance. It's the illustration of a shepherd leaving 99 to go find one. It's the illustration of a woman sweeping her house diligently to find one. Now, in both of these accounts, in Luke 15, verse 4 to verse number 7 with the sheep, and verse number 8 to verse number 10 with the coin, something is lost. We got that. The sheep and the coin, they're both lost. Something is found. The sheep is found. The coin is found. And after they both are found, just like the shepherd, just like the woman, they call all their friends and they say, "Let's rejoice, because I have found something that is lost." But in Luke 15, verse 11 to verse number 32, we have before us probably one of the greatest stories that has ever been told. When you begin talking with people in the religious world, more often than not, everyone has read the account of the lost son, or we sometimes reference him as the prodigal son. And what this lost son is going to teach us, not just the son who's at home, not just the son who left, but ultimately is going to teach us about the heart of our God. Because even when we lose our way, even when we do things that go against the Father's commandments, our God is always ready to welcome us back home. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found." In Luke 15, verse 11, the Bible says, "There was a father who had two sons. And the younger of them said, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And the Bible says, he divided unto them his living." Now, the Old Testament helps us appreciate that the older son was going to receive 2/3 of what belonged to the father. And typically, these sons were only going to receive the inheritance once their father died. You know how disrespectful it must have been for a Jewish boy to go to his father and ask him for his inheritance while he was still alive. "Father, I want you to give me what's mine," which helps us appreciate Luke 15, verse 11 to verse number 32, the lost son's departure. The lost son said, "It's time to go. It's time to get out of here." I'm sure many of us can appreciate what it was like being 17 or 18 years old, and you were just waiting for the day when you can get out your parents' house. You are just waiting for the day when you can go off to college, go off to the military, just go out and begin living your own life, having your own independence, going about and living your best life, that we sometimes say, failing to appreciate. It's not that our parents don't want us to enjoy life, because they've raised us to be faithful unto God and to live a good life. But they have protected us from things that we just simply did not see coming. And so in Luke chapter 15, what this father does, imagine these Pharisees and these scribes to the side as Jesus is sitting down with tax collectors and with sinners. And these Pharisees and scribes, they hear Jesus illustrate this account of the lost son. And they're saying to themselves, how can this son ask his father for his inheritance while he's alive? I know this father is about to get up. I know this father is about to tell him what's really on his mind. But the Bible says that this son, after his father gave him his inheritance, we see the lost son's departure, but we also see the lost son's drought. The old King James Version says, when he went out into the far country, he begins to be in want. He had it so good at his father's house. He knew what he was going to eat. He knew where he was going to lay his head. He knew where his chores were. Everything in the father's house had been taken care of because of his father. Now here he is with his first sign of independence. He goes out into the world, and his money went as quickly as he left the father's house. That's the thing about sin that our parents and that our older generations try to protect us from. It always costs more than what you're willing to have. It always costs more than what you're willing to spend. Sin is expensive, brother, and it's always going to lead us to spiritual death. And so the Bible says here, as this son goes out into the far country, he has all these friends. They're partying. They're having a good time. Man, life must be good right now. He's doing the very things that he wasn't able to do in his father's house, nor does he have his father in his ear. But not many days after, the Bible says he begins to be in want. And now, picture this scene. His money is gone. His friends are gone. And now he's thinking about sharing a meal with pigs. Sometimes when I read Luke 15, as we often and always try to do, is put ourselves into the text. Now the Bible says, while he's in this pig's pen, the old King James Version says, when he came to himself, he came back to his original mind because he had lost his mind. And now he's thinking to himself on how good it was at home. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will say to myself, to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. The point within these first couple of verses here with this lost son, the point I want to try to convey to you is this. The lost son left his place of safety. The lost son left his place of security. And he thought within himself that if he was able to go out and live a different life, then that will somehow bring to him this sense of joy and fulfillment that he should have had when he was at home. But amazingly, what you read in this text is the love from our Heavenly Father. You know how many people drive to local congregations and they sit in the parking lot and they question whether or not God is going to forgive them. But it's not so much whether or not God is going to forgive us, because God is always willing to forgive us. Amen. I think sometimes we blame God for how brethren act. And sometimes we ask ourselves, will the brethren forgive me? But ultimately, it's will God forgive. You read Psalm 51, and you read of David and his repentance. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit that is within me. Though David in Psalm 51, 2 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10, though David did some chapter 11 and chapter 12, rather, 2 Samuel, David ultimately needed to talk to God about that first. And so the Bible says, as this son begins making his way back home, father sees him. He runs. Again, don't forget about the Pharisees and the scribes as Jesus articulates this. And maybe they're saying to themselves, as the father is running to his son, man, this father is about to get him. This father is about to let him know how disrespectful he was. The Bible says the father ran and he had compassion on him. The word compassion in our culture is certainly a word that we don't use as much as we used to. But when you're talking about God, when you're talking about his love and adoration towards all of us, our God is a God of compassion. And our God loves us and cares for us so much that he's always willing to welcome us home. And the text reveals for us in Luke chapter 15, the father said, hey man, my son is back. It's time to have a party. Go in my closet and I want you to get the robe. I want you to take the ring. I want you to put it on him. Notice this, because this my son was dead and is alive again. And the Bible says he was lost and now he is found. The Lord has a lost and found section. You know how many people who have left the fold of God? You know how many people right now are waiting for us to call them or text them to encourage them to come back home? Because where you are, you can't go to heaven that way. You have to repent. You have to come back home. And Luke 15 shows us with the lost sheep, with the lost coin, with the lost boy. I value the one. Something is lost. Something is found. Now it's time to rejoice. But within Luke chapter 15, verse 25 to verse 32, you also have the older son. And the Bible says he was angry after he makes his way back. The Bible says, and he was angry and he would not go in. Now imagine yourself being the older son. And here you are with every step you're taking closer to home. You hear the music and you hear how everyone is having a good time, but yet you don't get an invitation. No one likes a last minute invitation. No one likes to be the last one invited to a particular event someone else is having. No one likes to be invited last. And so he goes and he's inquired, what's going on? I didn't know we were having a party. And they told him what took place. Your son, your brother rather, has come back home. And the Bible says that he was angry. He wouldn't go in. But the father goes out to entreat him, as a good father does. And the father is having a conversation with his son. What's going on? I need you to talk to me. He said, Father, I've been with you all these years. I've never transgressed your commandment. But as soon, watch this, but as soon as this your son has come home, he's already devoured his living with harlots, he's already gone out, he's already done everything you did not raise us to do, but yet when he comes home, you decide to throw him a party. You decide to invite everyone from around the surrounding areas to come out and rejoice because your son has come home. Doesn't this sound like some church members? I've never left home. I've always been here. When the elders need me, I'm the first one at the building. I'm the last one to leave. You need me to serve on the Lord's Supper table? Hey, let's do it. You need me to preach? Let's do it. You need me to go visit the elderly? Let's do it. I'm always here. I'm always available. Doesn't that sound like a very self-righteous person? It's almost like they want a pat on the back for doing what God would have them to do. It's almost like they want a round of applause because they are doing everything God has asked them to do. And the Bible here says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. But your brother has now come home, He was lost, but now he is found. The Lord's lost and found section here in Luke chapter 15 is one of the greatest chapters that we read about, because it helps us appreciate how much our God truly values all of us. When you're studying your Bible, we are getting to know about the character of God. We are being closely shown that He does love us and He does care for us. You see, when you read Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," that verse is not the start of God's love for us. The love God has for us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the love they have for us started all the way back in eternity. So much that if a person is lost, this is good news because it's not new news, but it's good news, that if a person is lost, the Godhead, the deity, the nature of God has created us and made the world in such a way that it shows us the way to come back home. I can remember growing up, and not a lot, but sometimes I would hang out with friends, sometimes playing basketball, we would get home late, and I can always come around the corner of Weary Lane, and there was that light that was always on. You go into the house, there's your father, there's your mother, there's your family. Even though it's late, they're excited to see you. That light being on let me know that it was safe to come in. I wonder what it was like for the father to be sitting and to get a glimpse of his son. I don't think he was gonna reject that boy or push him away, but he saw him. He ran and he embraced him. What can we learn from the Lord's lost and found section this morning within these 32 verses? You know, if you go back, we don't have time, but if we were to go back in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and following there, Jesus shows us that if a man will love less his father, his mother, his wife, his children, Jesus says if you love them more rather than him, then you cannot be his disciple. And then it's on the heels of that that Jesus, this is of inspiration, turns a page. And Jesus, as he already challenged those in Luke chapter 14, now he's challenging those individuals again, the Pharisees and the scribes. And he's asking them, what are you going to do with the one? Number one, by way of application, Jesus receives sinners. Jesus wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants, whether you are Jew, Greek, whether you are bond or free, whether you are male or female, Galatians 3:26 and following, Jesus wants all of us. Jesus invites all of us to sup with him at his table. Number one, by way of application, Jesus receives sinners. Number two, when you look at all these three accounts, we've already repeated it, but the Bible helps us to appreciate in Luke chapter 15 here that when something was lost, the two accounts, the woman was willing to sweep diligently. The shepherd was willing to leave and go find the one. Not only does Jesus receive sinners, but secondly, Jesus values the one. How much does Jesus value the one? He values the one so much that he's willing to leave just to make sure you come back home. Jesus receives sinners. Number two, Jesus values the one. And number three, we see the compassion of our God. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You read the book of 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled all the word of life. 1 John 1 and verse number 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, we walk in darkness, we lie, we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all sin. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse number 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Luke chapter 15 helps us appreciate that Jesus receives sinners, that he values the one. He shows us the compassion of our Father. But last of all, and my favorite, no one is so far gone that they can't come back home. When you read the book of Luke and you read how Jesus is interacting with all these different people, tax collectors, sinners, the woman of the city that was the sinner, Luke chapter 19 with Zacchaeus, he gives the account there of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, all these different accounts help us appreciate. You may have decided to leave, but you can also decide to come back home. Sometimes people speculate as to why the sheep got lost. Maybe he looked down and he was eating, and before he knew, everyone was gone. Maybe the woman, as she had her 10 pieces of silver in her home, maybe she invited someone over for dinner, and maybe someone bumped into her cabinet and one fell behind the counter somewhere. But the point is this. The one matters so much to each of them that they decided to stop everything they were doing to go find the one. And the father said, yeah, I'm going to sit here. Hopefully my son makes the right decision. But there was something the son knew about the father that made him come to his senses and know that he could go back home. There was something about the way the father raised and reared this son and knowing that I know my father will accept me because that's the kind of man he is. And when you think about our God and you think about the Lord's lost and found section, notice again what the text says in Luke chapter 15, verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. I'm thankful this morning God has a lost and found section. And as you look at the world, and as you think about people not realizing how much they mean to God, oh, but if someone loved them and cared for them so much, they would simply look past what they see and look at their heart and say to themselves, if Jesus values the one, and if I want to be like Jesus, I will value the one as well. Thank you for your time and your attention this morning.